Our guest left in the studio is Mike Majerus, who is a professor of evolution at Cambridge University. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well this afternoon.
Good. So you are, I suppose, a lepidopterist? Is that how you'd call yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm just a bug man.
A bug man.
Yeah, I do lepidoptera. I also do ladybirds.
And the thing we're going to talk about today is your work about moths. Tell us a bit about moths and tell us what they can tell us about evolution.
Well, I work with one moth in particular, which is a very famous moth, and then a couple of hundred other species, which are very much less famous. These are the British moths that have black forms, sometimes called melanic forms. And some of those only have had black forms since the Industrial Revolution. The most famous one is a thing called the peppered moth, and it first had a black form, or the first black form of it was found in 1848 in Manchester. It spread, this black form increased very rapidly, so within 50 years, by the end of the 19th century, 98% of the Mancunian peppered moths were black. And there was a famous Victorian lepidopterist called Tutt who suggested in 1896 that the reason for that was because the tree trunks had all lost their lichens because of acid rain, effectively, and then soot fallout had blackened the tree trunks. The black form was harder to see on those trees, and birds therefore naturally selected the black form because they ate the other form, which is white with black speckling.
So let's go back a bit. Where would this black form have come from?
Just a chance mutation.
So in one of the genes that's responsible for pigment.
Yes, when you were talking earlier to Bruce, he mentioned a thing called the MCR1 gene. Now, that is a melanic gene. We have lots of them, and so do the Lepidoptera. There's lots of different genes, and this is just a particular mutation, a particular change in one of the pigment genes, which produces black all over the wings instead of just in a speckly pattern.
So once this had arisen randomly, those insects weren't getting eaten so much?
Yeah.
So then they could breed and it would spread.
Yes, the idea is that this mutation would occur every now and then, back over thousands of years, but usually it would be a disadvantage, so it selected out. Once the environment had changed and they were with pollution, then it became an advantage, so that spread.
And I understand, I've sort of locked horns with creationists occasionally, but some creationists say that the original experiments that were done to prove this, because it's a lovely example of evolution at work, it's something changing in the genes and in response to the environment. But some people say that the results weren't very well done or that it's not accurate.
Yeah, well, this is there's a very interesting lepidopterist called Bernard Kettlewell, who in the 1950s did some of what are classical experiments. This is what's in all the school textbooks, where in two different woods, one a polluted wood and one a non-polluted wood, he released live moths of both forms onto tree trunks, and he saw in Birmingham that the birds took far more of the pale form, so the black form was successful in polluted Birmingham, and down in Dorset, it was the other way around. So the black form on the trees that still had lichens was taken far more than the pale form. Now, in the last 10 years or so, right through since the 1950s, scientists have gradually tinkered with Kettlewell's experiments, said he did it at too high density, he moved moths from one location to another, and so on. Scientists have been saying, you know, this might not be as absolutely accurate. But then about 10 years ago, the creationists started not only saying that this wasn't, these experiments weren't valid, but actually saying, or some of them saying, that Kettlewell faked his results. He's accused of fraud. Unfortunately, both Bernard Kettlewell and his mentor, who also has come in for a lot of criticism from the intelligent design and the creationist people, Kettlewell's mentor, E.B. Ford, they're both dead. And so I decided that because there was so much criticism, if you actually put peppered moth into Google, you get more hits on creationist websites than on biological websites, which just seems to be the wrong way around. So I've been, since 2001, doing a new predation experiment, which what I try to do is correct for every single one of the flaws that people have pointed to in the way Kettlewell did it. So actually, pepper moths don't usually rest on tree trunks. They rest underneath lateral branches, sort of in the shadows there. So I put them in the right place. I let them, within a limited arena, choose their own resting site. They can fly at night and then rest themselves. So I'm not just telling them where they've got to sit. They do it themselves and so on. And unfortunately, this takes a tremendous amount of time because I have to do it at the density that the moths occur in nature. So I can only do rather few per day. So it's going to take... I'll finish this year, thank goodness. and hopefully that will either say that Kettlewell is wrong, in which case I'll probably get the front of the Times and the front cover of Nature.
Evolution does not happen.
Yeah, you know, well, not in that particular case. Or it will turn out that he's right, and then... I mean, I would hope that some of the critics of Kettlewell and Ford would then admit that they were wrong. Although, given that creationists tend to, if you prove one thing, they tend to just move the goalposts, which is why we now have this strange thing, intelligent design. So I really doubt that we will actually ever change anyone's mind. But really what I'm trying to do is say that the peppered moth case is or isn't a good example of Darwinian evolution in action, and try to keep creationists out of science class.
Well, that's a subject for a whole other show, I think. But let's talk a little widely about insect populations and how they respond to the environment. Are there other examples of how insect populations have changed? I mean, are we seeing populations changing as climate's changing?
Oh, yeah, populations change. Whether this is actually affecting the genes so much. You see, one of the strange things that many people who think about evolution don't quite understand is that there's a huge difference between somewhere like Galapagos, where Darwin did many of his observations, and us. And by us, I mean Britain connected to continental Europe until a few thousand years ago, and the great continents. If climate is changing, what will happen here, or in Europe and Asia and connections to Africa, things will simply move. They move first, they adapt second. So if they can move, they will simply move. So what we're really seeing is a lot of southern European species coming up here now, turning up and managing to survive.
So we've got a question about ladybirds here from Michelle, and she says, we have very strange bumps on a plant in our garden. We've also seen a lot of black with red spots ladybirds. Traditionally, I think that ladybirds are red with white spots. So is this the case? Where are these ladybirds coming from?
There's also some pictures of the...
Oh, wow, wonderful. Pictures. I love pictures. I just have to put my glasses on now, though. Okay, well, the bumps...
She says, are they hatching from the bumps?
No, the bumps have got nothing to do with the ladybirds. They look... The pictures aren't that distinct. I suspect they're galls. That's possible. It's also possibly a wayfarer tree, which actually has natural bumps on its bark. That's part of the plant development.
But the ladybirds, anyway. Why are we seeing black ladybirds?
Yeah, black with red spots rather than red with black spots. We have three native species that are always black with red spots. The pine ladybird, the kidney spot, and the heather ladybird. We have two other species, the two spot and the ten spot, that sometimes are black with red spots, but they can also be red with black spots or orange with black spots. And that's one thing I work on, because they're polymorphic. It's a bit like us having black or blonde or red hair and so on. So you can work out, that's all genetically controlled. And of course, now, if she's suddenly seeing lots which are black with red spots, she may be seeing the new one, the Harlequin ladybird, which arrived in 2004 and is now spreading like mad and take you over from a lot of our native ones. And we study that because as it's just arrived, we can study all sorts of things in that because it's having to adapt to the British climate. And unfortunately, you know, the British climate, other environmental factors. Unfortunately, although it's beating all our native ladybirds at the moment already, it's going to get even better at doing it. So goodness knows what's going to happen in the next 15 years.
You are listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Kat, and with Dave as well. And we've just got a few minutes left of the show. So in this time, we're going